You're listening to the Hour of the Time, and by golly, I'm still here, and I'm still William Cooper, unless they've succeeded in brainwashing me, too, and I don't think so. You know, I could be Joseph Martinez, and I could have gone through this big brainwashing program and a little plastic surgery, and they could have stuck me up on this hill to bombard you with the truth. Why would they do that? Well, to tell you the truth, I don't have the slightest idea.
Let me tell you about Ahab, the Arab, the Sheik of the burning sand. He had emeralds and rubies just a dripping off of him and a ring on every finger of his hand. He wore a big old turban wrapped around his head and a scimitar by his side. And every evening about midnight, he'd jump on his camel named Clyde and ride silently through the night to the Sultan's tent, where he would secretly meet up with Fatima of the Seven Bands, the swingin' number one dancer, the Sultan Cold Harry. Cause like him and her had a thing going, you know, and they've been carrying on for some time now behind the curtain's back. And you could hear him talk to his camel as he rode out across the dunes. His voice would cut through the still night desert air, and he sucked. Which is Aramic for, whoa, baby, and Clyde say, the hat.
Art Bell's gone. Thank Allah. Thank God. Bless the burning sands.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know I can be crazy when I want to be. Well, you know, I've been serious for so many years, and what you hear on the radio is really not my personality at all. It's a radio personality I've developed to try to wake up the sheeple. In real life, I'm, just like anybody on the radio. What you can be sure of is what you hear me say, I mean. What you hear me profess to believe, I really do believe. When I tell you something is the truth, it's because I really believe, honestly, and have done the research and can show you that it's the proof. The truth. The proof, too. It takes the proof to make the truth. What a lot of people don't understand. Got some email today. Somebody was confused. I got a lot of calls today, too, from people who just absolutely thought last night's broadcast was incredibly good. They loved it. And, I'm glad they did, although I didn't like doing it, but it needed to be done. Those things needed to be said. And the email I got said, this is just one email. I got several emails, but in fact, I got a lot of emails, but this one caught my attention because he said, the guy the other night said that the Independence Hall was a heritage site, and you said that's the reason to go to war. And that's not what happened at all, folks. The whole broadcast on that particular note was based upon the first caller, remember, who didn't know what it was but thought that it might have been declared a biosphere. Now, a biosphere is different than a heritage site. A biosphere really is controlled by the United Nations. They can dictate whether it's opened or closed. They can dictate whether human beings are allowed to go into it or not. A biosphere is something seriously, and it really is under United Nations control. A World Heritage Site, on the other hand, is not at all. It's just designated that as... It's like a historical landmark, is what a World Heritage Site is. UN has no control over it whatsoever. And my whole point during that night's broadcast was that if it is indeed owned or controlled by the United Nations, that's a reason to go to war in itself, because it has such historical significance to the patriots, to the real Americans in this country, who would never allow such a thing to happen. They can designate it a heritage site or a historical monument or a scenic drive or whatever they want to designate it, doesn't bother me a bit. But if they were to actually hand Independence Hall, to give it to the United Nations and say, here, it's yours, you own it, you control it, from now on, I'm afraid I would have to stop that by whatever means necessary. And I think there's a lot of others in this country who believe as I do and who would also join me in that effort. And I think that the first attempts would be protest and peaceful means. And if all else fails, yeah, take up arms and keep Independence Hall in this country, even if people have to get killed over it. Some things are inviolable. And to know who you are, you have to understand what has that kind of value. Independence Hall absolutely does. Now, I didn't say that all the sheeple are going to get up in arms and go to war over this or anybody else. I said its grounds in itself without any other reason to go to war. And it definitely absolutely is. So, you may disagree, if you wish, but there are enough people in this country, like me, who would just absolutely not ever permit such a thing. Never. It's out of the question. it's not open to debate, period, with us. You can debate it amongst yourselves. You can debate it with Jesse Jackson and Bill Clinton and Al Gore, all the other lying, bullshit, Marxist, puke-faced, communist dogs that you want to debate it with. But it's not debatable with us. Period. End of subject. Okay? You have to listen carefully to this broadcast, folks, to understand really what it's all about. It's not like the Rush Limbaugh show. It's not like the G. Gordon Liddy broadcast. It's not like Tom Likas in Your Wildest Dreams. It doesn't even, to tell you the truth, it's so far above and beyond the low class, actually no class, Alex Jones broadcast, that anybody who would even dare to make such a comparison, I would have to say, belongs in a mental institution because they haven't got the ability to discern between a class act and a no act, if you know what I mean. Now, don't get me wrong. If Alex Jones were to clean up his act tomorrow and become a legitimate, real good broadcaster instead of a scaremonger and a sensationalist and a rumor passer, then I would support him and applaud him 100% no matter what he's done in the past. If Art Bell had done the same thing, I would have done the same with him. I would have supported him and backed him and recommended that people listen to him no matter what he had done in the past, because I believe that when people change for the better, they should be rewarded for that, not continue to be chastised for what they've done in the past. Because if you do that, there is no redeeming. There is no way that anyone can redeem themselves and go on, and in so doing, you make permanent, lifelong criminals of them. And yeah, I think what Art Bell did and what Alex Jones is still doing is criminal. I damn sure do. And so my choice of words is not out of place. It's right on target. Well, if you have heard the latest, Bill Clinton is saying to justify his perversions, his lies, his flaunting of the law, his illegal activity, his all of the terrible things that he's done. He says that he did it to save the Constitution. Can you believe that? Now that's spooky. That spooks me. I don't know about you, but that spooks me. That is scary. That tells me he's not only a chronic liar and a Marxist and a communist, he's insane. Bill Clinton is insane. And I think Al Gore is insane too. I think they're both crazy. I think they belong in mental institutions. I think that there is more than enough evidence to prove it. I think there are sociopaths. Look that up. A sociopath is someone who has no conscience, no conscience, no sense of right and wrong. They can justify whatever they do by rationalizing because there is nothing that they personally can ever do that's wrong. That's a sociopath. They refuse to accept the morals and ethics of legitimate society. I say legitimate society because most of society today has nothing to do with legitimacy. For those of you living in the Round Valley, well, let me get this. So, for those of you listening in the Round Valley, immediately following this broadcast, there will be a special presentation on Channel 15, Round Valley Television, of the truth behind the Declaration of Independence. The truth behind the Declaration of Independence. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Especially those of you who have never read it, or have read it so long ago that you have forgotten exactly what it says, and why it was written and who wrote it and what it meant, please tune in to Channel 15, Round Valley Television, tonight at 8 p.m., immediately following this broadcast, for a special presentation of the truth behind the Declaration of Independence. I think you're going to like it. Oh, by the way, for your information, every night that the Hour of the Time airs, Monday through Thursday night, every week, immediately following the Hour of the Time, there will be one or maybe two special presentations. If it's one, that's all there will be, and we go back to our regular programming. If there's two, they'll be back-to-back. There won't be any thing in between. And I'll always let you know what they're going to be. And on Saturday night, there will be special programming on Round Valley Television on every Saturday night, every Monday through Thursday, immediately following the Hour of the Time, and every Saturday night there will be special programming that you need to watch. You really do. I give you a break on Sunday, and I give you a break on Friday. So you can go out and do, you know, your date night and all that kind of stuff on Friday. Make sure that you're back home on Saturday. You can bring your date with you. Watch Round Valley Television. Sunday is a religious day for a lot of people. And so even though it's not the proper religious day, I leave you alone for your religion. Saturday is the true religious day, and watching television is not work. And so those of you who understand which one is which will be home Saturday night to see what we have to present. Those of you who want to practice your religion on Sunday, that's fine. I believe in freedom to do that, but we will not be presenting anything special for you on Sunday. Okay? We're going to open the phones in just a few minutes, and we'll be taking your calls. I hope you all have been thinking about what I said last night. I hope you're watching the news. I hope you're beginning to sense the pendulum beginning to swing. I really pray, and I pray this all the time. I pray it when I go to bed at night. I pray it in the morning when I wake up. Sometimes when I feel the urge to pray during the day, I pray it at that time, that those of you who really think that you're so darn helpless can come out of that, because that's really the bottomless pit. I mean, you are in the pit. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill.
Hi.
This is Ken from Pennsylvania again.
Hi, Ken.
You remember you gave me a homework assignment.
Yeah.
Well, I don't have access to the Internet, okay, but I called Independence Hall and I talked to a park ranger.
Yeah, I was going to say, I bet you got it or you wouldn't be calling in with your homework assignment.
Yeah, he wouldn't give me his name. But I did make one slight mistake when I was talking to you. I said that the plaque was located in Independence Hall itself.
Uh-huh.
He told me that there is an east wing building and a west wing building on each side of the Independence Hall.
Uh-huh.
And the plaque is in the east wing.
Okay.
Okay. The park ranger said that the tour starts out in the east wing building, then they move into Independence Hall, and then they check out the west wing. It's like a little... I guess it's like a little outhouse type, you know, like a little small sanctuary building or something like that. I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to let you know that I followed up on that. I tried to call in last night, but...
Good for you, and you learned something, too, didn't
yeah.
you? You learned that you can really do that, and they will answer your questions. And even if they didn't, if they were rude, it wouldn't hurt you in a million years.
No, no problem. I was an adversarial when I talked to them.
Yeah, well, there's no reason for you to
be. Yes, I just... was inquiring about information,
yeah.
And they said they were going to send me some information out on World Heritage sites.
Good.
I wasn't trying to get under your skin.
I wasn't trying to get under yours. You have to understand that when you call in here, even though I'm talking to you in a conversation on the telephone, I'm really trying to teach the listening audience, all however many millions of them there are.
Yes, I understand.
So don't ever take it personally.
I wasn't taking it personally, but I took it as a challenge because I know a lot of people that you give homework assignments to don't follow up on them.
Oh, that's right.
And I remember you said mostly women follow up on your homework assignments.
That's also true.
Yes. One other thing, I just want to let you know that we do try to educate people on the Constitution. As a matter of fact, I talked to you about this before. We have a blue beret shoot. This will be our third blueberry shoot coming up this year.
Yeah,
It'll be in October.
In fact, the first I ever heard about it wasn't in a phone call. You wrote me a letter.
Right, I wrote you a letter. That's right.
Long time, see?
Yeah.
You guys don't think I read your letters, and you don't think I remember these things, but I read every letter that comes in, and I remember every single one of them. Unfortunately, it's just me, and I get thousands of letters and thousands of emails, and there's no possible way that I can answer them.
You probably get them throughout the world.
Oh, yes, I do.
But I just want to let you know that, I mean, I don't know everything, but I try to better myself, and you put a challenge to me, and I hope I erased the F you gave me on the air the other time.
Oh, no, I didn't give you an F. I said you will get an F
if
you don't.
If I didn't. So.
Yeah, so you get an A.
I get an A?
Yeah, you get an A.
Wow.
You did good. And just so that you'll know, I don't know everything either.
Well, I understand that, but...
Nobody does.
Yeah, I know.
It's the trying and the effort and the refusal to settle for less than the truth that counts. It's the refusal to pass on a rumor. It's the refusal to settle for anything other than the truth. It's the refusal to even consider a lie or something that's undocumented or something that could hurt somebody if you passed it on that counts. That's what really counts.
Yes, well, what I try to do, if I can't verify it, I'll let that be known. Excuse me, I'll let that be known.
That's okay also.
I'll say this is a possibility,
yeah.
But it's not 100% backed. I mean, I can't
well,
back
no, 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 no. That's
it
a,
might be
that,
an opinion or something.
That's a cop-out. What you have to do is this. Here's some information that I found or that was handed to me by somebody. It's not verified. I don't know if this is the truth or not. If you accept it as the truth without verifying it, you're stupid.
Okay.
That's the way to do it.
Okay, because I remember you said that even verifying what you say.
That's it. Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
And you'll notice that if I say something on the air that I don't know is the truth, I'll tell you. It's my opinion.
Yeah.
Or it's somebody else's opinion. Or it's rumor. Or it hasn't been verified. I will always make the word escapes me. But I will always let you know that. Always.
Okay.
I never pass on rumor. I get, you would be amazed at how many emails and faxes I get every day that are rumor, that you never hear on the air, but you'll hear every single one of them on every other so-called Patriot radio show on shortwave or on just regular radio.
Well, when I first got into this, I used to listen to a lot of the other guys. Now I just listen to you.
Well, you don't have to just listen to me, but you do have to be discerning.
Yes, can't take everything.
Some of those people now, to give them proper credit, have broken stories that were true, that needed to be broken before I did it. Doesn't happen very often, but every once in a while it does happen. But mostly what they do is pass on rumor. They pull faxes out of machines and read them on the air, and they have no idea whether they're true or false.
No, that's about all I had, Bill. I just wanted to.
Okay, you get an A. Get an A from me, my friend. And
well,
you did good, and I'm very happy that you did your homework assignment.
Okay,
and you called back.
I was trying to call in last night, but you were going on a roll last night.
Well, I had to because I was just, you know, something had to be said about this. Like, I can't do nothing. I'm just running money. I don't have no money. I don't have no time. God, oh, bleh, you know, it really does make me sick. I'm not joking when I say that. I literally get sick. And it is just, it's a terrible thing.
Well, when we organize our next UN shoot, our Blue Beret shoot, I'll send you some flyers. Maybe you can mention it on the air.
Okay.
Okay?
Sure.
Thanks, Bill. God bless.
Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Bye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, folks. I know last night's broadcast made a lot of you mad. If it did, you're exactly the one I was talking to. Exactly. Because you wouldn't be mad if it wasn't you. Good evening. You're on the air.
Okay. Good evening. How come when I'm going from New York to Philadelphia to check out Independence Hall, you know, I got to wait for Amtrak to get these trains that are being built by Canadians? And isn't Canada part of the United Nations, and isn't that like you know.
The United States is part of the United Nations.
Well, did you know? To get me there, I'm waiting for this new Amtrak Acela train to show up, and the Canadians are working on it, and it's never here, you know.
I really don't understand the gist of your comment. You're saying you're going to catch the train to go to Pennsylvania?
Yeah, you know, I could hop on the train to get it there, but, you know, the Canadians are holding it up. They're creating a long delay. They have problems with their wheel bearings.
Oh, well, maybe they do. Maybe it's a Canadian train.
I'm afraid it is.
But, you see, that's what happened when GATT was passed.
Yep.
That's part of GATT. Now, down on the southern border, they have the same problems, part of NAFTA. yeah, you're right, and it's terrible. We shouldn't be waiting on Canadian trains in the United States unless you want to catch a Canadian train to go to Canada.
Oh, and when you get on that train, they say you have to have a passport ready before they let you on the train in New York.
Well, then it must be going to Canada. And they're afraid you won't get off anywhere else. You'll stay on the train and go to Canada. So,
you need your passport.
Yeah.
They announced it in New York.
Yeah. But the truth is, if you read the GATT Treaty, there is no border and you don't need a passport. Same with NAFTA. There's no border anymore.
I never knew you needed a passport to go to Canada.
Pardon?
I never knew you needed a passport to go to Canada.
You don't. You can go to Canada without a passport. Canadians can come here without a passport. In fact, I think you can stay as long as 6 months.
To ride the Amtrak train, they announced it in Penn Station in New York. You have to have your passport ready to get on the train.
Well, why don't you go and ask them what that's all about? Would you like a homework assignment?
I'd have to buy a ticket to Canada.
Why would you have to buy a ticket to Canada to ask them why a passport is needed to board a train from New York to Pennsylvania?
Well, that's not... Technically, I'm talking about the train to Montreal.
That's not what you said.
A lot of trains leave in New York in different directions.
You see what I mean, folks? That's not what he said at all. He said he was waiting on a train to go to Pennsylvania to Constitution Hall, and he had to wait on this train, and then he had to have a passport to get on.
Well, that's the train that...
My friend, you got to screw loose. There's something in between your ears that's shorting out, and, you know, that's not what you said. That's not what you said at all. Oh, jeez. Oh, geez. Oh, please. 520-333-4578. Help. Help. Save me from the sheeple. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, hi, Bill. How are you doing today?
I was doing fine until this last caller. And then he just absolutely, you know, tried to, he tried to stick a whisk in my ear and scramble my brain. It didn't work.
Yeah, I could tell that, too. It was kind of like the old George Bush thing, you know, watch your left hand, look at the right hand type of thing.
How come I go down and say, I got to wait for this Canadian train, and then I got to show his passport to go to Independence Hall in Pennsylvania? And then later on, it turns out, you know, it's the train to Montreal.
Well, maybe the train makes a big circle. I don't know.
Well, maybe he's an escapee from the mental institution. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the reason why I called was I noticed the, it looks like the, that China most favored nation thing, whatever, that non-renew thing where they don't have to check it every year, MFN or whatever it is.
It's called like, most favored nation.
Yeah, it looks like that went through, according to my pager anyway.
Yeah, what did I tell you? Who controls Congress? Hello?
Yeah. Well,
who controls Congress?
Just one party.
Who? Who controls Congress? What party?
Basically the NWO party.
Goodbye. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. Sayonara, my friend. You know? The Republican Party controls Congress. All of you out there who keep saying the Republicans are going to change things, tell me, who passed NAFTA? Who passed GATT? Who passed all the gun control measures? Who passed the China most favored nation today? Who's doing all this stuff? Who's in control of Congress? Hello? Is anybody listening? Does anybody have a brain? Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
Robert from Tennessee.
Hi, Robert.
Yes, I'd like to, first of all, I ordered your book, Behold the Pale Horse.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I found that book, you know, it kind of enlightened me, you know, as a black American, you know, when I read that book, it really opened my eyes.
Well,
the New World Order. And, you know, like, say, to the, you know, when you look at the liberals, the socialists in our country,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a black American, you know, like, say, you know, when you open our eyes, there, you know, that's something there. And, you know, like, say, you know, I just like to, you know, thank you, you know, for opening my eyes to the truth.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
And I'm so happy to hear that, because in my mind, there's one race, that's the human race.
Right.
And they divide us to conquer us.
Right.
And they lie. And the black man has been so lied to and so screwed over in order to make him a pawn in the manipulation of the other races in this thing. This is just absolutely pathetic.
Right, and you know that the thing with me, you know, when I went on my quest for the truth, you know, I figured out the truth about the Democratic Party. Then I say I would switch to the Republican. Maybe they had the truth.
No.
But you know, I found out that they did not have the truth either.
No, they don't. They're both two arms of the same organism, and the end result will be a communist world. Both
right.
parties are taking us in that same direction.
Exactly. And, you know, you're the only, you know, like I say, you're the only one that kind of really tell the truth, because, you know, you lay it on the line there.
I have to. That's the only way to tell the truth.
Right, right. So, you know, like I say, again, you know, like they just keep on exposing, you know, exposing the cockroaches.
I will. You go out and help educate your black brothers and sisters so that we can eventually live in freedom and peace in this world, without being pitted against each other and lied to and all of these other manipulations that they do in order to get their way.
I will do that, and I'm doing my best to it.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4577. And there are a lot of blacks, and there's a lot of Asians, and there's a lot of Native Americans out there educating people to the truth. And sometimes it's hard because they've been lied to so much in their life that to hear the truth goes so against everything that they've ever been taught, that these people who are taking them to task on it are actually sometimes in danger for their lives. And you have to understand that. Malcolm X, no matter what you ever read about him, no matter what you think you know about him, that's a man who is beginning to learn the truth. And he was beginning to tell the black people, his constituents, what the truth really was. He was beginning to tell them that this fantasy that we all needed to be pitted against each other just wasn't true and wasn't the way it was supposed to be. And he was murdered for that. He was assassinated because he reached a stage in his life where he began to mature and he began to really see what was happening. And he started to tell people what he had learned. And he didn't learn it from me. Anybody who really, diligently looks for the truth will find it. He who seeks shall find. Seek ye the truth, and the truth will make you free. Not might make you free. Not maybe, in some circumstances, could possibly set you free. Will set you free. Will set you free. My people perish for lack of knowledge. You want to know the truth about Christianity? Read the words of Jesus and nothing else. Read the words of Jesus and nothing else. Jesus was the Christ. There is nothing, nothing that is Christian except what came from his mouth. That's what Christianity means, followers of Christ. Stop listening to these people. Stop believing all this bullshit about a master race or a chosen race and all this other stuff. Stop believing that Christ ever said anything that bars anyone. Stop believing that Jesus discriminated against anybody. Stop believing all of that stuff. Stop believing that about Buddha. Buddha never claimed to be God, is not God, did not want to be a God. Buddha was a man who taught a way of life that would lead people to happiness on this earth, no matter how hard or how bad things got. He wanted to take the burden of suffering off of the poor man. And so he taught, if you lead your life in this manner, he wasn't Lucifer. He wasn't the devil. He didn't teach bad things. He simply taught. He didn't pretend to be God. He wasn't even teaching a religion. He was trying to find a way for the poor, burdened man to take the misery and suffering out of his life and be able to bear his burden. And so he taught a way of life. So many people think they know so much, they don't know dip dork about anything. It's all hearsay. You hear this, you hear that. You don't make any effort to find out what the truth is. Most atheists aren't out to destroy Christians or Muslims or Jews or anybody else. Most atheists are lost in this world. They're disappointed. They can't find anything to believe in, and mostly it's because of all the false teachings that are taught that lead to hypocrisy, which they can see and reject, and so they become atheists. Their goal is not to kill everybody or kill you if you go to church. Most atheists just don't give a damn. Leave me alone is their creed. Now, if you want to talk socialist, Marxist, communist, that's another story. Their goal is definitely to destroy the church, to eliminate religion, to kill, if necessary, anybody who believes in it. Any religion, doesn't matter. They reject God outright as a danger to the security of the state, which they deem to be God. You see? My mother told me once, after listening to a couple of my broadcasts, that I should have been a preacher. I told her, Mom, that's the last thing in the world I should have been, unless I'm preaching the ministry of freedom. And by golly, if I'm preaching anything, and if this is a ministry, that's exactly what it is. Nothing more or less. It's a ministry of freedom. And the more you learn about freedom, the more freedom you give others, the more freedom you will have, and the better you will understand what freedom really is. And if you're not willing to die for it, you cannot ever have it. Because the only thing I have to do to take it away is put a gun to your head and say, if you don't reject it and do what I tell you to do as my slave, I will kill you. That's all it takes. Whether I'm serious or not, you will say, oh, please, master. Oh, I'll do anything you want, master. Oh, yes, master. Please don't shoot me. Oh, let me spit shine them shoes. Let me spit shine them shoes, master. What else you want, master? Want me to bring your breakfast in the morning, master? In the middle of the night, I go wash your clothes, master. And that parody is on the stereotype of any slave. It's not meant to degrade or parody the black man. That's the picture of a slave. No matter what color, no matter what race, no matter what religion, no matter where you came from, if you're a slave, that's what you are. That's what you are. I don't want to see anybody enslaved, ever. Nobody. period. But to prevent it, we all have to wake up. We have to understand the importance of freedom. And we must be ready and willing to die for it. If you're an American, one of the things that will help you understand some of these issues is a special presentation that you in the Round Valley will be able to see tonight on Round Valley Television, Channel 15. It's called The Truth Behind the Declaration of Independence. Now, that's not the proper name for it at all, but that's what most people know it by. If they came out with a movie called The Unanimous Declaration of the 13 Colonies, nobody would watch it because they wouldn't know what the hell it was. But Declaration of Independence, everybody knows what that is, even though they don't know what that is, if you get my drift. So, for those of you living in the Round Valley, this is your opportunity to learn what that is. To learn a little bit about freedom. Learn a little bit about your history, who you are, where you came from, why it matters, why it's important, why you're a fool if you don't know about these things. Round Valley Television, 8 p.m. tonight, immediately following this broadcast. As soon as this broadcast ends, that starts on Round Valley Television, Channel 15. Good evening. You're on the air. Well, I guess he just couldn't stick with it, huh? Good evening. You're on the air.
This is Jeffrey in New Orleans. I'm going to cut my radio off. Now I got it. Okay. Now, first of all, that abomination that was passed in the House today is just another good example of how both major parties are controlled by the insiders and how they are using both parties to establish that one world government.
That's right. The goal is world communism, ultimately, and intermediary government is going to be world totalitarian socialism, and so they have to have these treaties with the communist nations because they are the ones who are actually practicing what the whole world will be practicing in the future.
And what makes it worse is I've been reading Das Kapital, which is available for the blind folks from the U.S. government, and I can tell you that these guys really want to see the return of the 19th century factory system where people worked 15 hours a day, went home, and were practically killed in their work.
Absolutely. Karl Marx hated the common man. He hated the working man. He was a Jew-hating Jew. He hated the poor man.
That's correct. And, in fact, he twists his economics so badly, it isn't even funny. If I had a lot of time, I'd go into it, but I've only read one volume, and I'm going through all six of them now.
Illuminating, huh?
It is. It explains how they think, and it's absolutely inverted from the way we're taught economics in the free enterprise system, I can tell you that.
Yeah, and it also reveals what college professors teaching the Marxist philosophy to their students don't teach.
That's right. Among other things, they say that there's two kinds of labor. There's supposed to be valuable labor, which is you work yourself to death, and then there's supposed to be the surplus business where you're doing for other people. And the whole problem is that the communists want you to do just that, what they call value labor, for 15, 16 hours a day, and you wind up dead like a horse.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing before I go. That gentleman talking about the trains, I have a book from Amtrak that I got last year. He doesn't have to go to Canada to go to Pennsylvania. If he's coming from Chicago, he would take trains like the Pennsylvanian through from Chicago to Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. Or he could take the capital of the Cardinal to Washington and then come up to Philadelphia that way.
He knows that. I don't know what his agenda was, but he was screwing with my head is what he was trying to do.
I know, and I'm sort of trying to correct all that. Well, I'll let you go, Bill, but as I say, this is a very bad day for me as far as what the House did, but we should have expected it, and we just have to keep fighting on.
Yeah, it's a terrible day. You cannot deal as friends with an avowed enemy whose whole philosophy and political agenda is to destroy you. And they make no secret of it.
And the worst part is that Janet Reno just declared Taiwan a security threat to the U.S.
That's because I told you years ago, nobody ever heard it from any other mouth except on this broadcast, that the United States government had decided to give Taiwan to Communist China on a silver platter, and it was only a matter of years before it would happen.
Well, I'll let you go, and we'll just keep fighting on and keep working hard.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. That was Jeffrey from New Orleans. I think that's the way they say it, New Orleans. They don't say it like we do. I can tell you that for sure. It's not New Orleans, and it's not New Orleans. It's New Orleans. At least that's the way I've always heard them say it when I've been down there. I lived, for a few months when my father was going to some Air Force school in Biloxi, Mississippi, and we made a couple of trips to New Orleans. Then when I was a diver, I used to work out of Morgan City, Louisiana, which is the where all the big diving companies are, that work on the offshore oil well. And then I taught deep sea diving, deep saturation, mixed gas diving at the College of Oceaneering for several years, which was the preeminent civilian diving college in the entire world. We taught the Israeli Navy how to dive. We taught the Los Angeles Bomb Squad how to dive, and a whole bunch of other, the Coast Guard. The United States Coast Guard sent their diving trainees to us to train. It was a lot of fun. It really was. Speaking of New Orleans, his little long hair. Once again, another chicken plucker. Listen to me, folks. If you can't call and stay on the line, don't call. Don't call. Just disrupt the broadcast is what you do. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Mr. Cooper. This is Virginia calling.
Hi, Virginia.
I tell you, you're talking about my favorite city.
New Orleans?
Yes. Oh, I lived there for 9 years. My husband was working in the oil field. He's been out of Morgan City.
Oh, then you know where that's at there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, then, Houma. Then Morgan City.
Yeah, Houma. You, then you know what I did, don't you?
Oh, yes. And I tell you, he worked various jobs there. He worked for a company called Taylor Diving and Salvage down in, I think it was Delshade.
Yeah, so did I.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. This is a small world.
Taylor Diving Salvage, Oceaneering International. In fact, the diving college where I taught at was ultimately owned by Oceaneering International.
Is that right?
Yep.
Well, you know, he used to work for two companies down there, among the other ones there, the Taylor Diving. Floor Drilling, and on the Otico Company, he, you ever heard of that, there was a big ocean-going oil drilling platform, Ocean Ranger, that sank?
Yeah.
He was on that thing. He got sent to Japan to pick it up from Mitsubishi, and they towed it back across the northern part there from Japan to Alaska. And
by the way, it wasn't a ship. It was just a platform.
Yeah, I know. And he helped build it over there in Japan. He was over there for a little while, and then they towed it back down the coast of North America there. And it's funny, he was on the thing. I've got pictures of him in front of the sign Ocean Ranger, and he just about died when he heard it sank. It was supposed to be unsinkable.
Well, there's no such thing.
No, I know.
No,
but it was funny. I'll tell you.
If you've ever seen the real power of the ocean.
No, I haven't.
I have. I was on an aircraft carrier in the Pacific Ocean when a typhoon struck us.
Mm-hmm.
And we tried to get out of the way, but there was no way that we could dodge it. This typhoon struck us. Now, imagine this is an aircraft carrier. The ship I was on was 1,000 feet long. That's 3 football fields plus 100 feet. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the bridge where I was at was like 10 stories above the water. And when the bow went down into a wave, green water, in other words, the whole ship went underwater, green water was rolling across the flight deck, and we lost every single one of our planes that were on the flight deck, and all of the railings and life rafts and everything that could be carried away by the ocean was stripped from the ship. I mean, just literally as if some giant came along and just plucked it all off. It was incredible.
Golly. It's really, you know, you kind of really think how small in human form we are when you see something like that in the giant waves. I've never really seen it except in photographs and pictures and documentaries and stuff. But
well, I got to tell you, it was really scary to be standing on the bridge as the petty officer of the watch, in charge of the watch, and see the whole ship disappear under the water and just us sticking out. And that, you know, that was terrifying, literally terrifying.
I guess, my goodness.
Well, it was a strong ship, and due to watertight integrity and the proper, you know, proper work of all hands concerned to make it watertight, we survived that.
Love the Navy. Can I tell you this? My mother was born in England. She was born in the Plymouth Naval Barracks. She was literally born into the Royal Navy.
Well, there used to be a time when the wives lived with soldiers and sailors.
Right.
And you know, I don't know if that's why she was born in the Naval Barracks, but it might be the reason.
Yeah, her father was in the Navy.
Yeah.
But I'll let you go. I appreciate the program.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling, Virginia.
You're welcome.
Always,
bye-bye.
Always appreciate your call. 520-333-4578. This is a nice program tonight, except for that one guy tried to tell me, you need a passport, you got to go to Montreal to get to Independence Hall in Philadelphia. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good morning, Bill, or good afternoon. I went to an internet class tonight, and I tried to bring up your website to show everybody in my class, and I couldn't get it. Is it up? Is the website online?
How were you putting it in?
www.williamcooper.net.
Nope. I've told you 5 million times. Don't put www in there. If it was www, I'd tell you that.
Oh, just the HTTP?
http://williamcooper.net. Period.
Okay.
If you don't hear me say www, don't put it in. If you put it in, you're not ever going to find my website.
Okay. I wanted to share it with everybody I went to class with, and I guess I missed the opportunity, but I'll try again.
Yeah, well, you'll be going back, won't you?
Tonight was the last night. It was just kind of a breeze-through class to get everybody acquainted so they could kind of
See that? Remember on the show I always say, now listen carefully, folks. Remember that?
Yeah.
Did you hear me say www?
I guess I wasn't listening close. Yeah, I brought you up a zillion times myself.
Yep, well, you won't do it with www.
Okay. Yeah, thanks much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yes, you know, that was a good call because a lot of people learn. There's a lot of people. I get calls and emails every day. I can't get on your site. What am I doing wrong? And I write back and I say, hey, well, or I ask them on the phone, how are you trying to access it? And they tell me it's always wrong. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello? Hello, is anybody there?
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Hello?
I don't know if there was anybody there or not, folks. I couldn't hear anything. I have no idea. If there was somebody there and I hung up on you, I'm sorry, but I couldn't hear you. I absolutely heard nothing. 520-333-4578 is the number. Sometimes you get in with a bad telephone line. Sometimes you're talking on a bad telephone or what's known as a roam phone or a cell phone. And those don't work too good when you're calling a radio station. And sometimes you just have a bad phone or a real low voice. And you have to understand, folks, I'm a little hard of hearing. Okay? And I don't know what the problem was. 520-333-4578 is the number. Well, I guess we're out of time, actually. And we are. So, good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. Good night, Annie Poon Allison. I love you. For those of you in the Round Tower, make sure that you stay tuned. In about 4 minutes, exactly 4 minutes, as a matter of fact, there will be a special presentation on the Round Valley Television Channel 15 of the truth behind the Declaration of Independence.
Well, a strange thing happened the other night. You won't believe it, but I swear it's true. Harry the Harry ape from Asia has escaped from the city zoo. And in the cover of the darkness, he's made his way to the middle of the municipal park. And hid in the bushes and waited for somebody to come walking along by itself in the dark. Till along comes somebody not suspecting nothing. Had jumped out of the bushes all of a sudden. Beat on his chest. Jump up and down and he say, what did the Harry A talk for? Boo, I bet that scared you, ha ha. Scared that folk kept so bad as I broke out his hair, turned white and went off to the municipal park, screaming, hollering, tearing down the scrubber, digging up the lawn, knocked down, keep off the grass, down, run through the hurricane, and fell in the municipal swimming pool and drowned himself. Well, Harry thought this were the funniest thing that he had ever seen. And he laughed, jumped back in the bushes, got ready to do it again. The next guy that come along was the near sighted local DJ. Just bopping down the sidewalk on his way to work with a box of records on his arm that he was gonna play. So he comes, not suspecting nothing, had jumped by the bushes all of a sudden, feet on his chest. Jump up and down and he say, this is Harry A. Talker. Ooh, I bet that scared you, ha ha. Man, that radio announcer didn't even bat an eye. He was so nearsighted he thought Harry was a rock and roll singer. So he gave him an old glad hand, slapped him on the back, smiled and say, don't worry, man, I'm gonna play the record. Then he say, bye. Bopped him off down the sidewalk at 4 or 5 steps. He stopped and do a little mash to pull. Had just stood there watching until he got out of sight. Man, he didn't know what to think.